Welcome to the first episode of Barking Out Loud, a Butler 360 sports podcast where we talk all things Butler men's basketball as we are currently in the heart of Big East play. I'm your host for this week, Nick Kuster, and alongside me is Butler 360 sports analyst Drew Sandifer. Drew, how are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Let's get right into it. Butler's now 15-4, and they've lost three straight in Big East play. They're also coming off a 76-61 loss at Villanova on Tuesday night. So, Drew, what has been the biggest difference between the Butler Bulldogs over this past three games compared to when they were 15-1 early in the season?
Yeah, I think the difference that's most eye-catching is the amount of points that they're giving up each game. They gave up 78 to Seton Hall, 79 to DePaul, and 76 to Villanova. And just the Butler brand of basketball, they're not trying to light up the scoreboard and get in a shootout. That's not the way they win basketball games. When you look at their three best wins, according to KenPom, against Florida, Purdue, and Creighton, they forced Florida to only 62 points, held Purdue to 61 points, and Creighton to 57 points. So they're much better built when they can get into low-scoring, grinded-out games where every possession matters. This is not the team that's built to run up and down like they have the past three games.
Yeah, Butler, I saw, was averaging on defense just over giving up 58 points per game, and then mid to high 70s in their last three losses. To follow up with that, the Villanova game in particular, did you see anything really stand out in that game that's been different from the rest of the season?
I think a couple things. One, I don't think Butler really played too bad in the Villanova game. They only had five turnovers on the whole. I think one thing that stood out from the Villanova game, as from the other two, is that when the other team has an extremely tall and athletic big, Butler struggles to defend. Romaro Gill was Seton Hall. Paul Reed absolutely destroyed Butler. And then Jeremiah Robinson Earl in this game. He had a double-double. They just couldn't box out on the defensive end, and that led to easy second-chance points for Villanova.
Yeah, against Villanova also, Sean McDermott was 1 of 11, 0 of 7 from 3. And he really didn't get his first basket until later into the second half. Something else I noticed from that game, Butler only took 8 free throws to Villanova's 23. When I was watching early in the second half, the announcers made a point that when Villanova committed a foul, it was only their second foul of the game, and that was in the second half. I want to go a little bit back to the Seton Hall game because Butler had a 10-point lead at halftime, and they looked really comfortable, and then everything really changed. What really stood out in your mind in that game?
I think starting with the second half of the Seton Hall game and then into these past two games, they've kind of slip back into their old ways of last year where Kamar is really burdened with scoring all of the points, getting late in the shot clock situations and having to go into isolation and throw up a difficult shot. And they're just, like last year, these past few games, they're just not getting to the foul line. Those are easy free points where the clock stopped that they're missing out on.
I thought that was a obviously, people will say it's a turning point because that was the first loss of the three-game losing streak that they're on. But there were a couple interesting points that I took away from that game as well. I thought Kevin Willard really had a good game coaching. I think he took Bryce Enzi really out of the game for Butler. And Romaro Gill really had a good game, as you mentioned earlier. Also, the game was completely turned on its head when Aaron Thompson fouled out. You could just tell that Butler really struggled having a true point guard, and Kamar had to do almost everything in the last 6 to 8 minutes when Thompson was out of the game. Those were two big things, and I think coaches on the opposing side are starting to figure out how to go up against Bryce Enzi because he's a smaller big, but he gets a high number of rebounds. So I think Kevin Willard really coached a good game for Seton Hall to come back. And obviously when you have an All-American like Miles Powell who can go up and essentially make any shot that any NBA player would put up, then that's obviously super nice to have. It doesn't matter what team you are. Continuing with this, it was breaking news last night out of the Butler basketball Twitter account that Christian David, the roll bench player, tore his ACL against Villanova the other night. So how do you think Christian David's absence will impact the rotation in this team moving forward?
Yeah, it's a big loss. He's not one to stuff the score sheet every night, and you won't see a lot of gaudy numbers in the box score, but his plus minuses for all the games are some of the highest of anyone on the team. The way LaValle usually does his rotations is he has the Bryces run together, and then he'll throw out the lineup of Christian David or Jordan Tucker at the four with Smits to give him as much space as he needs. So, you know, with Christian David being out now, that forces probably Jordan Tucker to play more minutes at the four, forces NZ and maybe even Golden to play some of the four alongside Smits. So maybe forces Caleb Battle maybe into more high-pressure situations than he's really been throughout Big East play. So it's a big loss for Butler.
Yeah, Butler was rattled with injuries early in the season. They got through them. But now, again, a shortened bench. They only went nine deep against Villanova. So, and that was with Smits getting like 2 minutes, I believe. So you're going to see a really shortened rotation for sure. And obviously Jordan Tucker, the first man off the bench. But I want to continue with the now the scoring side of things. Butler, in my opinion, cannot rely on Kamar Baldwin to go out and put up 25 points every night and for them to win a game. And then Jordan Tucker, especially against Seton Hall, came in and put a huge spark in that team and to put them right back in the game after they started out so flat at home. Besides Kamar Baldwin in that starting five, who really needs to step up and put points on that score sheet to where Kamar Baldwin doesn't have to feel like he's got the weight of all of the Butler team on his shoulders to put the ball in the basket?
Yeah, I think the obvious answer that first comes to my mind is Sean McDermott. I touched on those. Their three best wins, according to KenPom. McDermott had 16 in the Florida game. He had 11 in the Purdue game. And he had 18 in the Creighton win. So, you know, every Batman needs his Robin. When Keelan was here and scoring 20 points a game, he had Kamar there to keep the defense honest, keep all of the attention off of one guy. So I think Sean McDermott being able to stretch the floor, knock down those open shots, will take a lot of that pressure off. I also think Aaron Thompson being able to orchestrate the offense. Just notice in these past three games, it's turned a lot into Kamar taking over, which sometimes can help them or hurt them because he is able to do that. And so sometimes that can be kind of a crutch that they rely on. But I think when they've looked their best this season, they really spread the offense out more than they have in these past three games.
Yeah, you can really tell when Kamar wants to really take over the game. I feel like he, even though he does, he makes very tough shots, especially the 10 to 15 foot jump shots. He's as good as anybody I've seen in college basketball with taking those jump shots and making those. However, he's taking those shots, and those are very well defended for the most part. And Sean McDermott has been struggling to hit open shots of recent, and I just think he needs to be that next player to step up. And you could tell how big of an impact it was that he was missing against Villanova because he really struggled and they really struggled to score. They got it within three, actually, 45 to 42 with it midway to earlier in the second half. And then after that, Villanova went back on their run. So I think Sean McDermott's the big one, as you said, that really needs to step up. And then Jordan Tucker and Sean McDermott to me are obviously great three-point shooters, but they need to do more than just shoot the three. Obviously, people are going to respect them shooting that because they are such good shooters and they shoot at such a high volume. However, they need to be more than just that. And I think they have both grown in that way, especially this season. And they just need to show more of that as this season progresses, especially on Friday night when they bring in arguably one of the top two scorers in the Big East, and Marcus Howard and Marquette. So looking forward to that game. Obviously, Butler is struggling on the defensive side, and this is not any easy task, especially against a point guard who can put up video game-like numbers. What does Butler need to do on the defensive end to really stop Howard in this Marquette offense?
Marquette, since the Hauser twins transferred, they've really become reliant on Howard to be all of their offense, whether he's scoring or assisting. So I think one key factor for Butler to get a win Friday against Marquette is the health status of Aaron Thompson. He had that little wrist injury that he went out with Villanova, the hip. I've been hearing that the wrist is still an issue. It's not completely healed. So his availability for the game Friday against Marquette will be crucial because having a guy like Aaron Thompson that doesn't need to score the ball a whole lot for your team to be successful, he can kind of focus all of his energy on locking down Marcus Howard as well as anyone can. And that leaves people like Kamar Baldwin more energy to focus on the offensive end. But really, I think for Butler to lose this game against Marquette, it would need to take 35 to 40 points from Marcus Howard. But if there's anybody in the country that can do it, he's the one.
Yeah, Marcus Howard obviously returning this year, and is just such a star on every level of in the game. He's averaging just under 43% from three and just under 43% from the field in general. The guy is averaging 28 points per game. He is one of only two players on this team who averages in double figures. He is literally a ton in most of this offense in general. Let's talk a little bit about Marquette, just preview this game before we I have you just hit on what Butler needs to do besides stopping Marcus Howard to really win this game. Marquette in this Big East season so far has lost games to Creighton, Providence, Seton Hall, and they've won games against St. John's, Georgetown, Xavier, and then that key win, Villanova. They're 4-3 in conference play so far. Their losses have been blowouts, and they've been close. Their wins have been blowouts, and they've been close. So what does Butler need to do Friday night, both offensively and defensively, outside of Marcus Howard, to really beat this Golden Eagles team and get back on their winning ways?
Yeah, I think, for one, they need to focus up on this game. Marquette, at least this year, is not one of the premier teams in the Big East, but as we've seen, as conference play has kind of unfolded here, there are no games off in the Big East, top to bottom. I think they're all in the top 80 in KenPom, so really, there is no game where you can kind of rest and say, okay, we've got this one. I think offensively, I'd like to see them get into more of their sets more. Earlier in this year, they had a lot of their offense run around that set where they have the two bigs come up at the high post. The guard can kind of pick which way he wants to go, and then the offense kind of unfolds from there. These past three games, I think they've just been playing a lot of like delayed transition, just kind of make what you can. Maybe that's for a little bit from the pressure of those games with Seton Hall and Villanova being such huge games, and then DePaul going down by so much early, you kind of throw the game plan out the window at that point. But I think on the defensive end too, obviously we said slowing down Marcus Howard is a big key, but I think limiting their second and third options, making Marcus Howard do all of the damage, because I think if Butler can get to 60 points in this game, if you can keep Marcus Howard to not get 50, and you shut down their second and third options, then Butler would have a good chance of coming out with a W.
Yeah, coaches from day one say that a one-man team cannot beat you, and Marquette, you could say, is a one-man team, especially right now with Marcus Howard. After this game for Butler, not that the games for them get easier, but they maybe have an opportunity here to start winning ball games in a row. They play Marquette at home on Friday night in the nightcap, and then they go to Georgetown, who's really having a down year after they had a couple issues off the floor and a couple players transfer. And then they welcome Providence at home, who they've already beaten on the road, even though Providence has been a lot better in Big East play. These next three games for Butler are really key opportunities to get the ball rolling again, because then it really starts to pick up when they welcome Villanova at home, then they go to Marquette, and then welcome Xavier. The Big East, not easy games easy, as you said, or not any game is easy, as you said, but it's really a situation where this is the opportunity for Butler to get on winning ways. In terms of the rest of the season, what are you looking forward to? And what do you want to see from Butler, not just Friday night, but for them to get back into winning ways in these next three or four games?
Yeah, I think for these next three games, with all of the injuries that have been going on, Christian David being out for the year, Aaron Thompson up in the air, there are going to be some guys that are going to have to play roles that they haven't played yet this year. So I think for a fan, it would be good to see those guys get comfortable with those roles. I think that was another reason why Butler surprised so many people this year, and how they've been playing so well in the early season is that everyone just knew their roles. Every player came in, you knew about when someone would come in, come out, what they were supposed to do on offense, who they were supposed to guard on defense, and what that game plan looked like. So with some of the injuries and just general rises and falls and level of play, I think getting back to knowing your role and performing well in that role will be critical for them.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how the freshman Khalif Battle plays off the bench. His minutes will obviously have to go up with David out now. And he really is a great talent. He's a four-star, top 100 player out of high school. So his role is definitely going to increase as this season progresses. So Friday night, Marquette at Butler, 9 o'clock. Butler looks to get back on their winning ways. Drew, thank you so much for joining me today on the first episode of Barking Out Loud, which is a Butler 360 Sports podcast that will be done every week and posted onto our website. For Drew Sandifer, my name is Nick Kuster. Thank you so much for joining us today. And episode 2 will be next week as we talk more of Butler men's basketball.